AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber and other successful companies. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/enhance. oracle.com/enhance.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, February 15th. I'm Alex Ozola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, some companies are testing Microsoft's new AI assistant, Copilot, and employees have been eager to try it out. But does the bot live up to the hype? WSJ reporter Tom Dotan tells us whether early testers say it's worth the money. And then, scientists are resorting to once unthinkable solutions to mitigate the effects of climate change. We'll hear about three geoengineering projects planned for this year and what scientists hope to achieve from WSJ reporter Eric Kneeler. But first, for the past 6 months, employees at some companies have gotten the chance to test Microsoft's new AI assistant called Copilot. It's an upgrade for Microsoft 365 that plugs into Word, Outlook, and Teams, and it uses the same technology as OpenAI's ChatGPT. Microsoft is hoping for one of its biggest hit products in decades. But what did the early adopters have to say? WSJ reporter Tom Dotan is here to tell us more. Tom, what kinds of things can Copilot do?
One of the ones that has turned out to be one of the most popular is transcription. So if you are in a video meeting, it would be listening in the background. It could do a transcript. It could summarize everything that we talked about in our meeting. It could come up with action items. And then also within Word, it can generate documents based on prompts. So you could say, write me a business proposal. It can do some Excel functions. And then it can do kind of powerful, more complicated stuff. Like I've just made up a business proposal in Word and I could tell it, can you convert it into a PowerPoint presentation that I could show at my next board meeting? That's something that it can use its AI technology to generate.
So Copilot has been out for 6 months now. What are people saying about it?
I talked to a bunch of people at companies that have been testing it, and I would say the reviews are mostly positive, although not overwhelmingly so. The Teams features, all that transcription stuff, that's turned out to be really popular. The stuff that people are less enthusiastic about or just straight up say just is bad is like Excel. It makes a lot of mistakes. And then the email stuff, I would say, is a mixed bag. The new gadget syndrome of people wanting to try out a new toy is very strong. And from what I've heard talking to chief information officers inside a lot of these companies, when they send out the note to their employees saying, hey, we have 300 seats available to try out Office Copilot, anybody in? The interest is extremely high. The requests come flooding in.
So companies are paying for this. How much does it cost per seat? And are people finding it to be worth the price?
That's really the question. So it's $30 per person per month. And that price is on top of the price that a company is already paying to license the Office or Microsoft 365 suite. And the question for a lot of these companies is, if we are effectively going to be doubling the amount of money we're giving Microsoft in order to use this AI Copilot, are we getting $30 more efficiency per person? By and large, the answer has been no for most of the people that I talk to, or at least they don't think it's worth it for every person in the company.
Is that the kind of feedback that Microsoft has said that they've gotten too?
They confirm the fact that there's been very enthusiastic demand. I talked to an executive who said they've never gotten such enthusiastic demand for a product before. Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, was saying similar things in a recent earnings call.
So right now, that software is where it is. What could Microsoft do to make it better, make it more useful?
Well, of the shortcomings that people mention to me, one of them is hallucinations. We're all familiar with this now when you're messing around with ChatGPT or a similar large language model, it spits out a response and it just makes up the information. It's just flat out wrong. And that happens constantly from what I hear with Microsoft's Copilot. Other issues are with Excel. These large language models are most effective when they're typing up words and paragraphs and sentences, whereas Excel is numbers based and they're just not good at that. And then the last thing is there tends to be a major drop off in usage over time. Really, any new piece of software, you know, it's like you get a new toy and you start playing with it at first and then you forget about it after a couple of months. The same sort of thing seems to happen with Copilot. And One company that I talked to said there was a 20% drop off in usage after 1 month outside of Teams.
That was our reporter, Tom Dotan. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, could adding stuff to the air and the sea actually help save the planet? That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber and other successful companies. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/enhance. oracle.com/enhance.
Dumping chemicals in the ocean and spraying particles into the sky in an effort to mitigate the effects of climate change are approaches that have long been considered taboo among scientists. Now, though, researchers are undertaking geoengineering experiments outside the lab. Scientists are looking at whether these approaches work and if there will be unintended consequences. WSJ reporter Eric Kneeler joins us now. So, Eric, there are three big projects underway this year. Tell me about each one of them and how they work and where they're taking place.
So the first one that's underway right now is off the coast of Australia, the sort of northeastern coast. And they've got a project to brighten the clouds above the Great Barrier Reef. They've got one ship that's sailing across the Barrier Reef, got another one that's kind of following along to monitor, and they've got an airplane in the sky. They're taking seawater from the ocean, making a briny mixture, forcing it through these high-pressure machines and spraying this mist up into the low-lying clouds, the marine clouds. What they're trying to do is increase the surface of the water vapor in the clouds, which would have more reflective capability. So basically brighten these clouds and reflect more sun away from the patch of water where the Great Barrier Reef is. Great Barrier Reef has suffered a lot from high ocean temperatures and some other predation and other things. And they're hoping this will basically shade the reef and help it recover.
Okay. Tell us about the second project.
There's another project underway this summer, also in the ocean, off the coast of Massachusetts, that's planned for August. The Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution has devised an experiment to put alkaline solution, similar to lye, a detergent, into the water, sodium hydroxide, that would basically force a chemical reaction to draw carbon dioxide out of the air and into the water and safely store it there and perhaps cool the planet.
And tell us about the third project, which is perhaps the most controversial. It's from an Israeli startup called Stardust Solutions.
They are doing aerial testing of an idea called solar radiation management, also known as stratospheric aerosol injection. But basically, flying really high in an airplane, releasing reflective particles, some kind of aerosol particle that would reflect sunlight very high above the clouds, above where the weather takes place, at 40, 50, 60,000 feet up in the atmosphere, the stratosphere.
So what's different about these projects or this moment?
So what's different now is instead of debates, journal articles, scientific meetings, or, you know, even movies or books is... these have gone from the lab to outdoor field trials. And that's the first time you've got three big projects happening this year. They're on ships, they're on planes, they've built things, they've got machines working, and they're testing these things, these particles, the chemicals in the ocean, and they're going to be watching and seeing if they can detect movement, if they can grab that CO2 somehow or reflect that sunlight to make a difference, to cool the planet.
These are smaller scale experiments to test these methods. What happens after they're complete? Will the scientists do them on a larger scale?
So these are scientists doing these things. They're really out there collecting information. Even the private company that's doing this says, we're collecting information. We can't cool the planet ourselves. Anything to do that would require international treaties, cooperation from many countries, millions, billions, trillions of dollars. That would be a massive effort. So that could be years away. And it would require a lot more discussion. The United Nations is starting to discuss these things.
with some of these experiments, it's understandable that reservations would be not only that they don't work, but that they actually have detrimental effects. What are some of the risks of these projects?
Well, that's a good point. They don't know. There's some belief through computer modeling that you could see changes in rainfall patterns, for example, if you reflect too much of the sunlight, if you change the Earth's balance of energy coming in and energy going out. If you start tinkering with that, you could see perhaps a change in the protective ozone layer, which prevents radiation from coming into the Earth's atmosphere and the lower atmosphere. There could be changes in crop patterns or marine life, plankton, for example. They're very important for the food chain.
Zooming out a little bit, let's assume that at least some of these experiments do work and they prove that there's something to these methods. Is the intention to simply reverse the effects of climate change? How would all this fit together?
In a word, no. The scientists involved in all of these projects tell me that this is really to buy time. This is no substitute for switching to carbon-free sources of energy, to driving more electric cars. If some of these projects work in the short term, that could buy us time to switch to carbon-free energy sources, for example, you know, a decade from now.
That was our reporter, Eric Kneeler. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.